Let's continue reading verses 21 through 33 of Numbers chapter 13. Now in the second half of the chapter, we have the scouting report of the land of Canaan given by the 12 spies. The majority of the spies brought back a bad report of the land. Numbers 13, beginning now at verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Once again, let's consider some background notes. The total distance that the spies traveled in their scouting trip was about 500 miles. You can follow their expedition on your Bible maps. As they traveled north, the spies came to Hebron, a place of great memories. Remember, the patriarchs were buried there in the cave of Machpelah. North of Hebron, they came to the Valley of Eshcol. Here they cut down a cluster of grapes that was so large that two men had to carry it between them on a pole. They could not deny that it was a good land, a productive land. We see from verse 21 that they went up from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. This would be as far north as where Lebanon is today. So quite a journey. Now, one more background note. In verse 33, we read about the giants, or Nephilim. Nephilim, or Nephilim, is the Hebrew word that's used here. Who are these people, anyway? They were large of stature, as Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 10 indicates. Thus, the Hebrew word, Nephilim, is translated giants in the King James Version. Now, this same Hebrew word is used in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4 for some people who lived before the flood. I'm reading Genesis 6, 4. "There were giants," or Nephilim, "on the earth in those days and also afterward." Now, does this mean that some giants or Nephilim survived the flood? No. All human life perished in the flood, apart from Noah and his family. Actually, I was going to say yes at first to see if I could wake everybody up. But what about this? Nephilim before the flood, Nephilim after the flood. They were people of large stature before the flood, and there were Nephilim, or people of large stature, after the flood. Remember Goliath at the time of David. The human gene pool that God created in Adam and preserved in Noah allowed for people of large stature, or giants. And more we could say. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for the second half of Numbers chapter 13. Doctrinal point number one, unbelief sees obstacles from the human perspective. Unbelief sees obstacles from the human perspective. In verse 27, we have the first part of the report of the spies when they returned to Moses and the children of Israel at Kadesh. Verse 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So far, so good. This part of the report was good. They correctly reported that it was a good and productive land. But now comes the bad part of the report in verses 28 and 29. Nevertheless, always watch out for that word. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Watch out for that word, nevertheless. It may be an indication that you are looking at obstacles from the human perspective and not from God's perspective. Verse 31, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." What's the basic problem here anyway? The basic problem here was unbelief. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3:19 says that the children of Israel could not enter the land of promise and rest because of unbelief. Unbelief sees obstacles from the human perspective. It was true in the case of the children of Israel then, and it's true of us today. Let me ask you, how do you see obstacles? Now, when we say obstacles here, we are especially thinking of obstacles that are keeping you out of the land of blessing. Obstacles that are keeping you from enjoying your spiritual blessings in Christ. Obstacles that are keeping you defeated in spiritual battle. What are some of these obstacles that might be keeping you out of the land? The obstacle of not wanting to get things right with your fellow believer. The obstacle of reluctance to be involved in serving the Lord. The obstacle of fear concerning witnessing to your neighbor or coworker. The obstacle of thinking the Christian worldview of creation takes too much faith. And there's many more. Are any of these obstacles keeping you out of the land? Do we see these obstacles as fortified cities and giants? If so, our problem is unbelief. Not unbelief as to salvation, if you're a believer, but unbelief as to walking with the Lord and entering the land of spiritual blessings where God wants us. Unbelief sees obstacles from the human perspective. What's the solution? Faith. And that's our doctrinal point number two. Doctrinal point number two, faith sees obstacles from the divine perspective. Faith sees obstacles from the divine perspective. Did you ever look down on people from the top of a tall building like the Sears Tower? Can you tell the difference between a tall person and a short person? No, they all look like grasshoppers, right? See, that's the divine perspective. Did you ever look down on a high barrier wall from an airplane? Doesn't look like an obstacle, does it? From God's perspective, giants and fortified cities with high walls are nothing. That's what faith is all about, seeing things from God's perspective. That's the kind of faith that Joshua and Caleb had. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." And we know from chapter 14 that Joshua also had the same divine perspective. I'm reading chapter 14, verse 9. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us." And you know, when the children of Israel finally did enter the land by faith 40 years later, the fortified cities like Jericho were a piece of cake. And where do you read in the book of Joshua of any giants being any kind of problem for the children of Israel during the time of the conquest? You don't read them, do you? So if only they had faith at this point. And remember what Rahab said to the two spies about Israel? I'm reading Joshua 2:9. She said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." God has ways of removing obstacles for the faithful believer. Now, what about these obstacles of fear concerning your security and doubt concerning God's ability and the high walls of reluctance to get things right with your fellow believer, reluctance to get involved more in Christian service, and the giants of worldly thinking and being too busy even to pray? The problem on our part is unbelief. Most of us really don't have the faith to live in the good of God's promises. Well, we say we do, but do we really live in the good of God's promises? We tend to fall short of the land of blessing and spend too much time wandering in the wilderness of Christian experience. The solution is more faith. 1 John 5, verse 4, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Faith sees obstacles from the divine perspective. Practical application. How do you spell giant? How do you spell giant? Do you spell giant with a capital G or a small g? If you spell giant with a capital G, it may be an indication that you spell God with a small g. Let's hope not. But do you see the lesson? Unbelief spells giant with a capital G and God with a small g. Faith spells giant with a small g and God with a capital G. Practical suggestion. If you're spelling giant with a capital G, begin to take little steps in more faith. All right? Just little steps. Remember the Lord said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, that's pretty small. But if it's genuine, that's what counts. You know, begin to take little steps in more faith. Trust God just a little bit more than you do now. That He can pull it off, that He can do what He promises to do, that He can answer prayer and so forth. Pray in faith based on the promises of God just a little bit more than you've been praying before. Take a little step in faith toward reconciling that difference between you and your fellow believer. Read and study God's word just a little bit more. Commit yourself to defending the biblical worldview just a little bit more than you are now. And guess what? If you do this, you will find that your capital G of giant will begin to shrink down to small g. Praise the Lord. How do you spell giant?